1 Samuel chapter number 3, verse number 1. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son. Lie down again." Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. The Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." If the Lord will be my helper this morning, I'll give you probably just a few minutes of one of the simplest pictures of the call of God and salvation that every little child in this building might understand. And if you're 8 years old or 80 years old, you need to simply understand the call of God and salvation and the simplicity in responding to God's call. Verse number 9, "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down. And it shall be that if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" If God will help me, if he'll give me enough voice, if he'll give you enough ears this morning, I'll talk to you on the subject of "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Samuel was sanctified. The word "sanctified" means to be set apart for a special service to glorify God. This morning, God does not save any individual just to keep you from going to hell. It's not why God saves you. God's not a fire escape to keep you out of the flames. But God saves men and women and boys and girls that He might set them up, that they could be a light that would glorify and honor God in His name. Let me help you this morning. Does your life, your very existence, the fact that you are this morning, does that glorify God? If it does not, number one, you're either lost, or number two, you're way yonder out of the will of God. Right. Because God saves you that He might get great glory from you. As a nation, Israel was wandering far from God. The Word of God said every man did as it seemed right in his own eyes. There was no open vision from the Lord. God was grieved at Eli. Eli was God's man. He was God's anointed. He was God's chosen. But Eli was full of sin, and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were wicked as the devil. And Eli, rather than rebuke them sternly and put them in their place, winked at their sin. God was so grieved and God was so hurt. Reminds me of the Baptist church today. But even in the midst of this situation, God, in His tenderness and in His mercy and in His holiness, sanctified little Samuel. Because as much as the rest of that crowd had sinned and grieved God, God was determined to raise up a holy seed in a little boy that God would sanctify and set apart, one that would give Him glory and would give Him honor. And you may be 75 or 80 years old this morning, and you ain't going to glorify God with your life,
and God will pick out some 7 or 8 year old child, put his hand on him, fill him with the Holy Ghost to get glory out of that little youngin' this morning. God knows how to raise up a brand new generation. God's about to judge this crowd, but in his mercy, he sanctified Samuel. Samuel was sanctified and Samuel was sweet. Samuel was a gift from the Lord. His name means asked of the Lord. His mama asked for him. But he wasn't just a gift from the Lord. He was a gift to the Lord. You see, Samuel, by definition, means ask of the Lord. And he came from humble beginnings, and his mother prayed for a miracle child. She was barren in her womb, and she wanted a baby boy. But she didn't want him for any selfish motive or any selfish reason. She wasn't interested in what she could gain by having a son. But she wanted something that she could give to God for God's glory and God's service. We ought to take that this morning for a reminder that when you pray, you ought not pray for your husband to get saved just so you'll have a good husband. You ought not pray for your children to get saved just so you won't have rebellious youngsters, but you ought to pray for folks to get saved so they'll give God great glory and honor with their lives. And I'll tell you, if you get your motive right in your heart, God will get to answer your prayers. And he was a sweet little fella, but his mama gave him to God, took him to the house of God and said, here he is, use him for your service. And he was so sweet, every year she'd come back and check on him, bring him a little coat that she'd made. Samuel was just a little fella that was set apart, sweet, for the service of God. Samuel was a servant of God. 1 Samuel 3:1. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. This little old boy was a worker in the temple. Actually, it was the tabernacle at Shiloh. From his very inception, Samuel was dedicated wholly to the service of the Lord. This was a lot more than lip service from his mama. It was a reality that she trained him and taught him. A lot of folks this morning want to hang on to the Word of God and say that if you train up a child in the way he should go when he's old, he shall not depart from it. And they don't want to really train their children. But she had trained Samuel to fear the Lord, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. I'll give you some verses here. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Psalm 2:11 says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And Proverbs 23:17 says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. You see, you need to understand this morning that the word fear does not mean terror. It does not mean horror. It does not mean to be so afraid of God. That's not what the word fear the Lord means. To fear the Lord means to reverence God. Right. It means to honor God. It means to respect God for who He is and to fear Him in His holiness and fear Him in His power. Children need to be taught to respect God.
Right. Amen. Amen.
They need to be taught to respect the house of God.
Amen.
This is not a playground.
Amen.
I mean, this is a place where folks don't just act just any way. You don't just talk just any way. You don't just dress just any way. I mean, this is where you put on your best clothes and you come and get on your best behavior in hopes and anticipation that a 3 times holy God might just come by and meet with us.
Amen.
And children have got to be taught there's something different about this place. They got to be taught there's something different about the things of God. God's name's not just a 3-letter byword, but His name's reverent and His name's holy. And children need to be taught to pray. They need to be taught when they're little. You say, well, you know, they're not saved. What good does it do them to pray? Hey, they need to pray because they need to learn there is a God that'll hear, listen, and answer their prayers. They need to understand that they've got a need and there is someone bigger than them that's able to meet their need. They got to be taught that. And children need to learn that reverence. I'm going to tell you something, Mom and Daddy. You get mad, you get blowed out, do whatever it is you're going to do. But please, for your children's sake, don't drag your children out of the house of God. Don't drag your children away from the very place that loves them and would try to get them some help from God. I see it all the time. People go home and they chew the preacher up for lunch and spit it back out on the table. Never realize it don't matter. I mean, if you hate me, that's fine. But don't chew me up in front of your youngins, because that might be the very hope that your children's got. And you may damn your children make fun of the church and everybody at the house of God, the Sunday school, and the singing, and go and just rattle on and make fun of everything, and your children will grow up and make fun just like you do. It won't ever be serious to them. Why, just old windbag to stand up blowing, telling his opinions. You reverence the things of God and you teach your children to serve God. And all of this has its place. But all of this by itself is not salvation. Samuel lived at the house of God. He was there every day from daylight to dark at the house of God. Samuel learned at the house of God. And it blessed my heart to see Miss Angie this morning with her Bible storybook. And it blesses my heart to see these youngins go downstairs. And you ladies get those children and you take the Word of God and those precious stories from the Word of God about David, Goliath, and about Moses and about Noah building the ark. And you teach those children. And Samuel learned at the house of God. Samuel labored at the house of God. And I appreciate these children getting into youth choir and singing, and from time to time on Youth Sunday they'll take up the offering or stand up and lead singing. Thank God you can do all those things, labor at the house of God and learn at the house of God and live at the house of God and still die and go to hell. That's not salvation. And it was not salvation for Samuel. Salvation was coming, but right now Samuel's a sinner. Your little children need to understand this morning that if they've never experienced the new birth, they're sinners. Amen. Samuel was not a sinner because of what he had done. Samuel was a sinner by nature, by what was born inside of him in the nature of his great, 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 great granddaddy, Adam. And your children need to understand this morning that you don't go to hell for being a drunkard. You don't go to hell for being a whoremonger, a harlot. You don't go to hell for being a dope addict. You go to hell for being a sinner. And that's your nature that you were born with. And you can't do anything about it. It's just what you have. But you see, your children need to understand this for you. The reason we have the gospel of Jesus Christ is because Jesus loved you so much that He didn't want you to stay in that condition. He knew you couldn't do anything about it. He knew you couldn't help it. He understood you couldn't fix it yourself. And the great God of glory took on a body of flesh, laid in a little manger, grew to 33 and a half years old and died on an old rugged cross. Because He loves you. He did it for you because He knew you didn't want to be a sinner. He knew you didn't want to live and die in your sins and make God unprepared. And Jesus did all He did to make a way. And you don't have to be afraid of a God that loves you that much. No doubt that tabernacle was a scary place. The only light was the candlestick of God that was lit. It was probably a scary place, a little boy all alone without mama, without daddy, and the only friend he had was the man of God, Eli. And I know when God spoke to that little boy, there must have been something that shook in his soul. I'm going to tell you this morning, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. I'm going to tell you, He's a loving Christ. He's a loving Savior. And when He calls you, I know it may be frightening. It may scare you, make you feel bad. And I see children and they complain, they're getting a tummy ache, and they get nervous, they get scared, they don't know what to do. But it's because of the sin nature that's in you. But you don't have to be afraid of Jesus this morning. Loves you.
Amen.
It don't matter if you're 6 years old or 60 years old. God's not calling you to condemn you. He's calling you because He loves you and He wants you this morning. Oh, He loves you and He wants you so
bad.
Bless His holy name. Man of God, Eli was so backslid, so messed up, he didn't even understand what was going on. Finally, after three times, he caught on, that must be God. And he gave that little old boy the best advice he could give him. Let me help you this morning. Don't you ever look at your children and tell them they're saved.
Right.
You don't know. Don't you tell them that. Because I know people that are on their way to hell today because their mama told them they got saved. Your children get to question and get to doubt and get to wonder. If they've got the Holy Ghost of God in them, they need to talk to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They don't need mom and daddy to straighten them out. When God begins to deal with your little ones, you be tender. You be sensitive because God... I've watched in the past 2 weeks, somebody older said no to God in this church 3 weeks ago. And in the past 2 weeks, God has supernaturally begun to prick the hearts of some of these children. You be tender with them. You be sensitive to them. I'll tell you what these children need to know. There's somebody loves them and cares about them. They need to know God's real to you. I mean, these youngins need to look at Brother Jesse and Brother Brandon sitting on the front row up here and say, I don't know nothing about God, but I believe God's real to them fellas. I believe God's real to Preacher Westman. I believe God's real to Preacher Mike. And I think God's real to Miss Lori and some of these ladies around here. And they need to know in their hearts there's something wonderful about knowing God. And there's people around them that love them, that care about them. And they do not have to be ashamed. I remember the first time God ever spoke to me. There is no magic age, okay? I don't know if it's going to be 5 years old or 15 years old. I don't know. The first time God ever really spoke to me, I was 12 years old. Until that time, I have no conscious memory of any time God ever spoke to me. When I was 12 years old, I was sitting back there about where Doug Brown's sitting right now. Hillcrest Baptist Church during revival meeting. God pricked my heart, showed me I was lost. Miss Pauline, it terrified me. God wasn't being scary to me, but who and what I found out I was suddenly scared the daylights out of me. And that first time God spoke to me and showed me I was lost, I was so ashamed, Brother Wesley. My daddy was the pastor. My mama was the preacher's wife, and she led the youth choir. And I'd sung in the youth choir and played the piano for the youth choir. And I'd been a good kid as far as I knew how to be. And I'd memorized my memory verses. And all of a sudden I found out, Miss Brenda, I'm lost. It scared me so bad that night. Miss Janet, I went to my daddy's car. It was a 1976 four-door Ford Granada. And I got in the back seat, Brother Jesse, and I laid down and pretended I was asleep. Because in my heart, I was afraid, Miss Jamie. I was scared my mom and daddy knew I was lost. And I did not want to upset my mom and daddy. I didn't want to break their heart and make them feel bad because their little boy was lost. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. God knew my little heart. God knew where I was at. God wouldn't try to terrify me. But I needed to know I was lost. I hate to see these babies go through it. I hate to see them have to weep and wallow around on the altar and ask questions, but it's got to be that way. I mean, they got to get in the same way you got in. Hey, when Noah built that ark, it didn't have a back door for the lawyers and doctors. Everybody got in through the same door. It don't matter if you're 6 years old or 60 years old, you get in the same way. God began to deal with that little old boy.
He didn't really understand what was going on. He knew something was going on. And Eli gave him the best piece of advice Eli could give him. He said, boy, you just go lay back down. You listen. And if he calls you again, you just answer. Yes. Don't run back here to me. Answer him. He's the one talking to you. You talk to him. I'm going to tell you this morning the best advice. It don't make any difference this morning. You listen to what the Word of God said, 1 Samuel 3:7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the Word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. You cannot know you're a sinner until God reveals that to you. And you can be 75 years old this morning and you'll die and go to hell. As religious can be in church every time the doors are open, if the Holy Spirit of God does not come by and reveal Himself to you and show you you're lost. God's got to reveal Himself to you. Samuel was around the things of God every day, and up until this point, God had never revealed Himself to him. You say, and I hear this all the time, I know you do. People say, all them people getting saved, them church members getting saved up, I don't understand that. How they be in church all these years and not be saved. I'm going to tell you why they don't understand it. Because they don't understand that the Word of the Lord has to be revealed to you. And that takes the Holy Ghost of God. God's mysterious in His movements and His ways. Why did God wait till my mama was 81 years old, as religious as the day was? Why did God wait till she was 81 years old ever reveal the Word of the Lord to her? Because that's when He could get the most glory out of her. God does not judge men based on what men think. God does not judge men based on what other men say. But God judges men based on the light that He gives you. And the only advice Preacher Mike can give you as a lost person this morning, if God begins to deal with your heart, you need to listen. You know, the natural tendency that everybody has is start talking. And they start explaining why I'm not lost. They start explaining why surely God, you can't be dealing with me. And that's why young men go to talk and they say, surely God, you must want me to preach. And they try to figure this thing out. But Eli didn't say, go try to figure it out. Do you know we've raised a generation of children today that are so good at asking questions? We've raised a generation of children today that no does not mean no.
Amen.
No means just whine a little louder. They'll change their mind.
Right. Amen.
And they make liars out of mama. And they make liars out of daddy. Because mama and daddy says no. And then they start with why. Well, why? And you'll make a big mistake of treating your children like they need to understand everything. I do not understand three-phase power. There's a lot of things about electricity I don't understand. There's a lot of things about substations and transformers on poles and 220 and 440. I don't understand. I just know you got to plug your radio in to make it work. That's all I need to understand about it. You don't have to understand everything about salvation. All you need to know is God's calling.
Amen.
And you need to answer. Well, that's simple, ain't it, Brother Jesse? I mean, if I'd had to figure it all out the night I got saved, I wouldn't have got saved because I thought I was already saved.
That's right.
Don't try to figure it all out. God very well understood what it was going to take to get Samuel to the place He could help Samuel. You don't have to understand everything. You just need to trust God. You need to understand this morning, men do not go to hell because they sin and do bad things. Men go to hell because they're sinners. They're born in that condition. This morning, if you're tender, and I love this, I watch these little children with tender hearts. I watch children that ain't ashamed to come up here and lay on this altar and weep. Don't you ever be afraid to do that. I want you to know this is a place you're welcome if you got a burden on your heart. I ain't talking about coming up here and popping your bubble gum, looking around, seeing if anybody's watching you. I'm talking about if you got a heavy heart, you need to talk to God. This altar is a good place to get to.
Right.
There's people that love you and care about you, and they'll pray with you and they'll pray for you. And I appreciate the tenderheartedness of children. You say, Brother Mike, why do some people seemingly have to go through so much before they ever get saved? I'm going to tell you why. Because their hearts are hard. Brother Jesse, you wouldn't want anybody in this building to have to go through what you went through to get saved. I love you. Brother Jesse he'd watch his wife be taken out. Let me just tell you this morning, in as much tenderness, in as much honesty as I can tell you, I'm not being ugly and I'm not being mean. Miss Nita, they make caskets in all sizes. And God knows how to get your attention. You go the easy way. You go the hard way. But if God comes after you, you better just yield.
Yes, right.
God speaks to your heart. You just need to say, yes, Lord.
Yes.
I ain't trying to figure it out. I ain't trying to understand it. God, I need help. And if you'll help me, I will. His bow, night's closed.